I was watching Band Aid last night from the concert from 85. That concert changed the whole perception around aid. Suddenly it made giving sexy. And as Billy comes to speak to us, who is a good friend, a great communicator, and a real father in our spiritual house, a pioneer, Billy, I pray that your teaching gift and the wisdom that you carry will help us to know how to respond to this justice issue in this day as a church, and not to ignore it, but to be brave and to walk something of that great path that I just thought Sue and Kay expressed so well in the video earlier as well in Hong Kong. It's the same thing. That same wisdom is needed. So, Billy, we thank you for being part of our family. We pray the Holy Spirit will mightily just fill you as you share with us now. Thank you, mate. God bless.
Thanks, Al. Hi, everyone. It's nice to be with you. Can you hear me okay? All good?
Yeah.
Good, okay. it's a strange time that we are living in. I'm with you this morning in River. I'm also done a pre-recording for another church in Norfolk. And on Friday, Colin and I are hosting a Pioneer Leaders Conference in Australia, and next Sunday I'm speaking in Arkansas, all sitting here at my kitchen table. So it's a very strange time that we find ourselves in. One of the first initiatives that took place in lockdown was this Unite 714, where thousands of churches across the world committed to pray 7:14 in the morning, 7:14 in the evening, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. Sorry, turn from their wicked ways. Don't forget that little phrase. Turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, as I said, thousands of churches prayed that. And so a few months later, May 25th, George Floyd, a 46-year-old black man, was killed by a white police officer in Minneapolis, and we all saw it. It was filmed. And this sparked protests and riots all over the world. Now, on the week after this event, I gathered with a whole bunch of denominational leaders, church network leaders from across the UK, hosted by Nikki Gamble and Pastor Agu Irukwu. And we talked about the issue of race and the church. Now, there are people that are representing the Anglicans, the Baptists, AOG, Elam. We were represented as Pioneer, Ground Level, Vineyard, Ruach, Hillsong, Destiny Church, 24/7 Prayer, All Nations. There were some Roman Catholics there. There was C3 Network there. Some members of the Coptic Church. Quite a range of people. And we listened to people of color talk about their experiences. Black leaders and Asian leaders talk about their experiences growing up in Britain. Now, I've also spent a lot of time over the last few weeks listening to black members of our congregation about their experiences. Now, I think before this, I would say I'm not racist, I'm not prejudiced, but what I've discovered is that I was completely unaware of what my black and colored friends have faced all of their lives and continue to face today. And this has been the issue that has really exercised me to be able to put myself in their shoes and understand something of where they're coming from. So I suppose I'm asking the question, does God care? If I think about the birth of our churches back in the charismatic heyday, 60s and 70s, what was happening in society at that time in the 60s, just after World War II had finished, was that a generation were looking for meaning. They were looking for authenticity. At the same time, there was this rise in the civil rights movement for racial equality. It all happened at that time. And God, I believe, took an interest. So in Exodus chapter 3, we read these verses in verse 7. When the Lord looked down on the misery of his people in Egypt, he said, I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land. So God cared. He was concerned, and he did something. What did he do? He said to Moses, I am sending you. Now, I believe that God looked down on society in the 60s. He heard the cry of a generation. He saw the pain. He saw the injustice. He saw the hunger for authenticity, the search for love, and he sent his Holy Spirit on people of all backgrounds, Anglicans, Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Independents, Evangelicals, across America, the UK, Europe, Africa, Australia. A global move of God took place. God was concerned, and he did something. And if I think forward now 50 years, here in the UK, there are some fantastic churches. As people have come together, the Holy Spirit has breathed life into the traditional church. It's incredible what God has done over these years. I turned up 1982 in Southampton, got involved with our church, got filled with the Holy Spirit. All the talk was about, you know, the restoration, Haggai, Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, coming back, restoring Jerusalem, the temple, the walls. This is what it was all about. We were looking for something that was bigger and bolder and more creative and more colorful than we had ever seen before. God did something. He caused faith to rise in our hearts for what the church could be. And I look at Revelation chapter 5, almost the culmination of what God is moving towards, a people gathered around the throne, singing their praises from every tribe and language and tongue and nation. This is what God's ultimate dream was, one new humanity. People of all races coming together. So I think God did something back in the 60s. He poured out his spirit, raised up a church. But I do wonder whether we dropped the ball on the racial issue. We didn't really see that one through. You know, Martin Luther King is quoted as saying, it is appalling that the most segregated hour of Christian America is 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I don't think much has changed. In Southampton, a small city of 250,000 people, we have 16 black majority churches. So here we are in lockdown, and we have been praying that God would show us wicked ways. And I think the issue of racial injustice raising its head as it has done is a wickedness that needs to be addressed. It is a scar on our society, on our nation, and on the church. Does God care? Absolutely. God heard the cries of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Rodney King and Stephen Lawrence, and the list goes on. And his response? It's us. It's the church. We are Moses. We are the representation of Christ. We are his body. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his voice. The church is the solution. Only being united in Christ will racial inequality find, I believe, its ultimate end, where equality is the norm. No political movement, no national identity can do that. Only in Christ can we find that oneness. And I believe we have an opportunity right now in our nation to see a greater move towards the fulfillment of God's vision for his church, one new humanity, one new community. So as we've been meeting as leaders across the nation, we have recognized a number of points that we are committing ourselves to. And I just want to share those with you now. And I hope and pray that we will adopt these as pioneer and work towards them. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We are committed to the long term, not just to the short term. This is a response, not just a reaction. And so here's the things that we have set out that we need to do. Number one, we need to acknowledge. We need to acknowledge the reality of the issue, not just write it off. We need to look at ourselves, first of all, look at our own hearts, first of all. Look at our churches, our practices, our structures, and just see what needs to be adjusted. Secondly, we need to listen. We need to facilitate conversation, create spaces for open and honest dialogue, listen to our Black friends, our friends of color, those close to you, those in your church community. That's what I've been doing. I've been doing little interviews online. I've got a meeting tonight with all of the Black members of our church just to keep listening to their experiences. We need to listen humbly, not try to find solutions, just listen to the people's experiences. Thirdly, we need to educate ourselves. We need to bridge the knowledge gap. What is it like to be a Black person in the UK today? You know, understand the historical context of slavery and British colonialism and the damage to the psyche of Black people that has been over a sustained period of time. We need to fourthly speak up. You know, use our platforms to speak out against the evils of racism. Be advocates where we need to be, but we need to use our voices to raise the issue. And then we need to take practical action, developing short, medium, and long-term plans to see solutions take place. I have begun to mentor a number of young Black leaders who I just thought I've got to do something practically. And so for me, I want to invest in a generation of young Black leaders to see them raised up and come through. But there are other things that we need to do. We've just started in Southampton a pioneer prayer group, a prayer meeting every other week with City Life Church, ourselves, and a Black majority church in the city, just to begin to break down some of those barriers. What practical steps do we need to take? And sixthly, not finally, but sixthly, and most importantly, we've got to pray. This is a spiritual issue. We don't fight against flesh and blood. But there are powers at work, strongholds in place that through our prayers and through our prophesying, we will need to see torn down. And so we've got to pray and we've got to speak out God's word. We have, I believe, an opportunity, a moment to see the church of Jesus Christ move closer to God's vision for his church. I do believe that God has lifted the lid on this issue once again in our nation, giving us an opportunity to address it. It's no coincidence that we have been praying for 4 months, 2 Chronicles 7:14, as we have come humbly to seek God's face, to turn from our wicked ways. God has heard our prayer, revealed to us a wickedness that needs to be dealt with in order for our land to be healed. You know, there's a wonderful verse in Ephesians chapter 3, which sums up my vision, our vision. It says this: God's intent was that now through the church, through the ecclesia, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ. God's eternal purpose, the church, us, the ecclesia, would represent to the powers the manifold. That Greek word means the multicolored nature of the wisdom of God, that we would see those things torn down. So we have an opportunity, I believe, right now to address this issue and see something more of the multicolored nature of who God is impact our church, that will impact the powers, that will have an impact upon our society and our communities. And I really pray that God would help us as we seek to move forward. So let me pray, then I'll hand back to Al. Father, we come to you humbly. I come a bit out of my depth here. But Lord, I pray that as we take time to listen, to address what's going on around us, we don't want people who bury our heads in the sand, but we want to be people, Lord, that recognize this moment that we are in, this Kairos moment, that you have revealed, that you have lifted the lid on a simmering ferment that's been going on for decades. And Lord, I pray this time, give us the grace, give us the humility, give us the courage as your church to address this issue. And Lord, may true healing come to our land, I pray. Help us all, Lord, individually and as churches and for us as Pioneer, as a network, to face up to it, to address it, and to see real breakthrough, Lord, over these next years, decades. Lord, things will look different, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen.
So let's just be with that. Fantastic, Billy. So superb how you've given us a really biblical foundation. How you've drawn scripture in such an elegant way. Thank you. Sit with that for a moment. Don't rush. A few weeks ago, my daughter came to stay with us. She works in London. She works in London. And she'd just been on the Black Lives Matters March. And she and some of her friends decided that what they had to do was they had to go and speak to the CEO and say it is totally wrong that 90% of all directors of TV ads are white and middle class. That has to change. And we want a ruling where at least one in four people that's asked to be a director of a film is black. And do you know what? They've made that ruling. Just because her and a bunch of friends just stood up and stood for truth. And sometimes it's those little steps that are the most important steps. So I want to show you my shoe here. I feel two things to say to us prophetically as a community. First of all, will we begin to really in our hearts stand in the shoes of our black community? That's our first step. Are we prepared to be brave enough to actually go and stand in their shoes and to begin to understand what it feels like to walk out their life? And secondly, what is the action that the Holy Spirit now is calling to you? Is it prayer? Is it to grow your understanding? Is it to humble yourself? Is it to acknowledge your lack of knowledge and to get educated? Or is it to do something? What shoes are you going to wear? Because you can't wear neutral shoes over this issue. You either walk into it or you walk away from it. Because that's how justice is. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Let's just sit with that for a moment and just ask ourselves what the Holy Spirit's asking us to do. And then Billy, if it's all right, Billy, I'd actually like you just to pray for us as a community. That'd be really special if that's okay.
Amen. Yeah, good. Yeah, Father, I thank you for this wonderful group of people who call themselves River. I thank you, Lord, that you raise them up, you breathe them into existence back in that charismatic revival. And Lord, I thank you for that heritage and for the way you've graced them over the years, Lord, to pioneer and persevere through good times and bad times, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as you have raised this issue nationally, globally, I pray within their sphere. I pray, Lord, as Al has encouraged the church, Lord, that we would know the steps that we need to take, unique to our situations, Lord, I pray. Lord, that the wonderful multicolored, multicultural dimension of what the church should be, Lord, we would be more and more reflected in our communities, in our gatherings. Lord, we recognize that we've not been great at it. And so I pray, help us, Lord. We just need your grace. We give you our willingness, Lord. And so I pray for River that they would be an example of inclusion in all sorts of ways, Lord, I pray. So bless them, be with them, grow their capacity, pour your grace upon them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Al. And I can assure you that as a senior leadership team, we'll look at those action, those points that Billy has given us, and we'll be working through them. And as congregation leaders, we will too. And as churches, we'll be working on that. And I suppose my response is, it's just painful. It's really painful. We were praying in the meeting earlier that God would loosen the tight bits in our hearts, in our souls and our minds, the tight places that are so tightly held we often don't even know it's there, and that contributes to systemic racism and things that we don't even know about. And for me, it's causing pain, and I know that I just need to sit with that pain and let God do a work in that. I read in Psalm 51 verse 17 this morning, the way to please you is to feel sorrow deep in our hearts. This is the kind of sacrifice you won't refuse. And our prayer, my prayer for us is that we can keep working on this. That this isn't just a sort of a nod. This is a commitment as us as a community to take this forward. And we're committed to do that. So we want to pray, keep praying. I want to play out this morning with the band, who've been absolutely brilliant, haven't they? So we're going to play out and finish our meeting over in the Maidenhead recording studio. Andy.
Bridge at the end of this song, which Nay's going to lead, says that we're giving God our heart, our soul, our yes, our all. Our heart, our soul, our yes, our all. And that means everything. That means our preferences, that means our prejudices, conscious and unconscious, our biases. So as we just play out on this and reach that bridge, let's make that our prayer this morning.